Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me is EVBIDS co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going today?
It's going great. Good to be here.
All right. Well, in today's podcast, we're going to cover our week in review and the top five posts from our T3 Facebook group, including what is gap insurance and why it's important for some people. We're going to talk about some police navigation or police notifications in the navigation system. Why do Tesla windows sometime automatically lower? Indications that your 12-volt battery is bad? And is premium connectivity worth it? So, Tori, before we jump into these five posts, for those who may be unfamiliar, can you tell us a little bit more about the T3 community?
I can, yeah. And that's, by the way, that this good five subjects that we have here. I think that it's good content today. But for those who are unfamiliar, the T3 community is the largest Tesla Tips community in the world. We have over 278,000 members, and our community is here to provide guidance, insights, and real-world practical advice for current and prospective Tesla owners, because a large part of our group are people who are doing research to buy a Tesla. And so we love that. We take that into consideration all the time. And we work hard in our community to fight spammers, to remove inappropriate content, political content, and to ensure that there's a polite and courteous and fun community for Tesla enthusiasts. And then I'll just add one more thing.
You mean there's political content coming around Tesla?
Oh, I know. Right now, it's just crazy. But I do want to mention on that note, if you're looking to buy or sell a clean Tesla, especially on the sales side, be sure to visit teslatipsandtricks.com and check out our T3 auctions. It's the best, fun, most exciting way to buy or sell a Tesla, but you get to avoid all of that marketplace drama. It really is quite a benefit for somebody who is looking to sell or to buy a used Tesla right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun. Just sit on the sidelines and comment and watch and see what they're going for. So, and we always appreciate our community helping vet the and share the knowledge, the tips and tricks during live auctions. So you can comment live. Jump over to teslatipsandtricks.com and also check out our YouTube channel. And be sure to like and subscribe there as well. So with that, Tori, let's jump right into this number one post. Make sure to get gap insurance when you buy a Tesla directly from Tesla. They don't offer gap insurance for finance vehicles, but leased vehicles I found out the hard way. Take us through this post, Tori.
So, yeah, this is Diego, and he's got a picture here for those who are listening of his car, which looks like it was rear-ended really hard.
That looks bad.
But it did its job and it protected him. You can tell it absorbed the blow pretty good, but I can also look at it and tell you that it's totaled. Like, you can see that the frame is going to be completely damaged, probably even hurt the battery. Let's talk about first, what is gap insurance?
Yeah.
And so Diego's saying, hey, make sure you got it. Well, what is it? For those who are unfamiliar with gap insurance, what it does is it covers the gap between the payoff of your loan or your lease and how much your vehicle is worth and what the insurance company will give you for your vehicle. So let's just say that you have a vehicle, your loan balance is, you know, $40,000 and you're driving, you love your car, everything is good. You get into an accident and you still have a loan for $40,000, your vehicle's totaled and the insurance company says that the market value of your car is $30,000. So that $10,000 gap between the market value of your car, or maybe not even market value, what the insurance company will give you for your car versus what you owe on your loan or on your lease, gap insurance covers that amount, regardless of how much it is. So if you have a
also known as negative equity, right?
Yeah. Negative equity insurance. Right. And it's a good point to note that if you put down a lot of money on your vehicle, you don't need gap insurance. So in other words, if you owe $20,000 and the value of your car is 30, you don't need gap insurance. So if you have larger down payments or trade-ins, you're going to be covered. But Teslas have had a bit of a depreciation challenge over the past year. We feel like it's plateauing out a little bit more, but you might remember a year and a half ago or so where Elon lowered the prices of the new vehicles up to 35% on some of them. Some of the Plaid models had a huge lowering, and that impacts the used car market. Because if I can get a new one now for 35% less, and you just bought one, or 2 months ago you bought one, man, that's quite a hit that you took. So now that the prices are lower, we are seeing that plateau out. But the comments here are just talking about how it is very important, and how one of them says that Tesla will, if you finance a vehicle, they will offer you gap insurance. You just have to call. But I'll tell you this, I have Progressive insurance, and it always asks me on the app, every time I log in, it's like, hey, you want to get gap insurance? You want to get gap insurance? So sometimes gap insurance is provided by insurance places, which makes a lot of sense if you think about it. You know, my Progressive doesn't want to give me $20,000 for a car that I owe 30 on. They would rather not put me in that situation. So gap insurance to them makes a lot of sense to sell. And a lot of credit unions sell it. A lot of banks sell it. So just be sure that you are looking around and doing your due diligence. If you buy from a dealership, you typically can see gap insurance. Last time I checked, Rod, this might be different now, but it was around, I don't know, somewhere between $400 to $700. Does that sound about right to you?
Typically, it's going to be a little bit more than that. Okay. But it can vary based on the value of the vehicle too.
Oh yeah, so, true. Yep.
You know, it does vary. But I just wanted to elaborate on what you were saying, Tori. You know, let's don't sugarcoat it. Teslas are having some serious depreciation, and you know, markets go in cycles, and people that had Teslas in the COVID era when there was a short supply, you know, there were used ones going for more than new ones were. So those days are gone. The cycle has gone the other way. And as you mentioned, it was the perfect storm when Elon lowered the prices. Hertz also decided to offload thousands of their fleet at wholesale prices into the market. They realized, hey, this EV electric electrification rental is not working well. And also all of the legacy manufacturers all came out with EVs around this post-COVID area and really flooded the market. And so there has just been a perfect storm of a oversupply and a lack of demand that has created. I mean, I just got a 25 Model X, and you know, I don't even want to think about what it's worth right now, just after me driving it off the lot, you know. Yeah. But for me, I love new, and I'm going to keep it. You know, I'll keep it and ride it through the negative equity, and I'll have equity in it 5 years from now when I go and get rid of it or trade it in. But you know, I'm a perfect candidate right now for someone who probably needs to have gap insurance, because if I were to get in a bad accident, I can be guaranteed that it's going to, the insurance is not going to pay me near what the payoff is right now. So,
yep. And that problem overall, the negative equity, it was more on Teslas, or has been more on Tesla or EVs in general, I should say.
Yeah. EVs.
But all manufacturers, even on ICE vehicles, have struggled with this throughout the COVID limited supply into, okay, now we have big demand, but the economy got a little softer. So this is not just a Tesla problem for sure. Gap insurance has been around for a long time, but it has been more prevalent with Tesla.
Yeah. So to kind of wrap up this, you know, gap insurance post, it just depends on everyone's particular situation. But I know a lot of people are just hardwired to say, no, I think, you know, all things extended warranty, you know, all that stuff they try to sell you is a hard no, it's junk. And this post is a legitimate example of why gap insurance is not necessarily just some back end product that that your insurance company or the dealer is trying to sell you, it can have real value. So,
yep.
All right, we ready to jump into number two, Tori?
We are.
So this one, kind of interesting. I use my Tesla Nav pretty exclusively now, but I've always used kind of Google Maps. And I know when I travel with you're a Waze guy. And this says, can we get police notification on navigation like Waze, please? I think I've been in a road trip with you from Orlando, Florida to Atlanta, Georgia, where we broke the all-time record for that because of this feature that Waze has.
That may have been a younger Tory. Yeah, that's a younger Tory that was maybe that way. and by the way, the reason that you use the Tesla navigation, and I do too, I don't even use Waze anymore right now, is because of full self-drive. Like, it's just easy. You tap the voice command button and you say, take me to, and you say the place or the address, and it's so good that there's no reason to have Waze anymore. And I've actually, since driving my Tesla, this is a big benefit too. I know we haven't gotten to the question yet, but I'm sure that my average speed has become slower because I let the full self-drive take control most of the time. I mean, I take over, you know, it turns or construction areas or areas where maybe I just want to take over, don't feel comfortable with FSD. Other than that, it's on FSD. Might speed it up a little bit at times, might slow it down at times. But Matthew, I love this. And I'm with you. I do think that this is a powerful benefit. And the way that Waze works is it's user-generated reporting of where police are. And so one of the comments here says, well, this usually shows where police were. But what I find is that it shows the area where they're camping, where they're sitting trying to catch speeders, especially on the interstate. This one is really beneficial. I don't even use Waze around town. I don't care. I'm not out there super speeding around town. But when I get on the interstate, you know, if it's 70, you might set the cruise at 85. And it's good to know if there are police in the area so you can slow down in those areas. But that user-generated content does work well. And they don't have it exactly yet, but I do. I'm going to pull up. This is not a Tesla app. Is the site that I'm on. And this is from December of 2023. And it's the most recent thing that I could find about it, where they rolled out in certain areas, they rolled out that there were police or that there was a speed camera. And I've not noticed this on mine. I might just be missing it, or, you know, I have a 2020 Model X Performance. Maybe I just don't have that. I do have premium connectivity, so it should show if I do. But there's a couple of reasons why I may not have it, but they were working on this and rolling it out. And from all the comments that I could see, they rolled it out in certain areas, but it's not out there to the point of where it is user-generated police. So Matthew, I'm with you. I think that this is a huge benefit. I would love to see it, but it's not here yet. The comments say, you know, range from people saying, hey, just drive the speed limit and you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then you got some people saying that, this would be awesome. And other people talking about how if you could load Apple or Android Auto on the screen, then that would take care of it. But it doesn't take care of it if you have full self-drive, because you just want to let the car drive, and that relies on the Tesla navigation. So I think it's coming. People say that they've promised it and that it's in progress. I don't know if they have insider news on how quick it'll be, but hopefully it is something that they'll add in the future.
And that's one of the reasons we like to share these types of posts, because we do have a lot of the Tesla engineers and team members that are part of our group. And so, hey, we like to let those guys know what our community is requesting. So if you guys out there are listening, that's what people are looking for. So,
there you go.
moving on to number three, my Model 3 recently started lowering the windows about an inch all around.
Yep. So Bob here. Bob is, this is a common thing that we see, and there's a couple of different causes of it. And so I want to go through each one. In Bob's case, you can see that the windows are rolled down an inch and all of them are rolled down. That is a classic vent option in the app. And so
what, and for the people that can't see that are just listening, Tori's got the picture pulled up, but Bob's windows are vented and it's raining out. So this is a problem.
It's a problem. Yeah. So basically there's a couple of comments on here. One is you need to recalibrate your windows. Well, I'm going to talk about that and show you how to do that in a second, but typically you don't see all four windows rolled down the same if one needs to be recalibrated. So I'll talk about recalibration in a second. Some more comments talk about how it does that when it's cold. Well, it's not cold here. It's rainy. And so it's not at a temperature where the water will be freezing. And I'll show you what happens in a second and talk through when it's freezing, how the windows do auto lower. This is different. They're open. They are vented. And so what ended up happening here as he updated everybody is I'm showing on the screen here for those who are listening how you can customize your controls in the Tesla app. And there is a vent option. And some people put this as on their Apple Watch where you can actually put the command to vent, or they'll add it to their top line in their Tesla app where you don't have to open up more controls. You can just tap it on the top four that you see on my screen now. And therefore, it has a higher likelihood of accidentally being tapped. Well, what happened in Bob's case was that he actually accidentally tapped the venting and it opened the windows while it was raining. So his problem was that he had the vent option selected in the controls on his phone. That's why they're all vented the same amount. Now, with that said, what's the difference between the vent option and when it's freezing outside and the windows roll down a little bit? So I've got a video here and I'll explain what's happening to those.
Hey, Tori, I've lost your audio. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yep. Got you back.
Oh, maybe it's because I was playing this video. So basically in this video, what it shows is that, you know, when you open up, your door, the window lowers a little bit so that you can open it and it doesn't get caught in the weather stripping for waterproofing. But when you close it, the window closes. And so you see that happen in Teslas all the time. Now with this, when it's freezing outside, it relieves a little bit of the opening, about probably I'd say a quarter inch to a half an inch, but it's still sealed. But it does this because if it's freezing outside and there's snow and ice, that makes the window harder to roll down. So it basically is relieving the amount that it has to roll down when it's freezing outside so that the window has less of a chance to get stuck when it's frozen. So whenever you shut your door and your window goes all the way up and then comes down a little bit, that's because it's really cold outside. And again, it's relieving the pressure so that it doesn't have to go down so far when it's potentially frozen. So Rod, does that make sense? Did I cover that aptly?
Yeah. And this is new to me. I thought you were going to say, you know, you're in South Florida and it's 140 degrees inside your car. So it was dropping down to vent the inside for that.
No. So there is protection in that. There's cabin overheat protection in the app. And basically what that does, I think it's 140 degrees. So if the inside of the car gets to 120 or 140, and you have cabin protection on, it automatically turns on the air conditioner to lower the temp. So it doesn't do the windows. It uses the air conditioner to do that.
Okay.
But there was one more thing I wanted to cover here. I mentioned that I would, which is calibrating the window. So if your window isn't shutting quite the way that you think that it should, and this would typically be one out of four, right? So it's, if all of the windows are doing the same thing and acting in the same way, it's not a calibration issue, most likely. So calibrating the window is pretty simple. And this is straight from the Tesla site for those who are just listening to this. It says, in the unlikely event that a window behaves unexpectedly, touches the bright molding, fails to open or close properly, goes down more than normal when the door opens. So when you open the door, if the window goes down 2 inches and you're like, that was weird. So you can recalibrate one window. And the way that you do it is you close all the doors. You sit in the driver's seat, make sure all the doors are closed. And then using the driver's window switches, you raise the affected window all the way until it stops. Then you lower the same window all the way until it stops. And then you raise the window again all the way until it stops. So you go all the way up until it stops, all the way down until it stops, all the way up until it stops. And that recalibrates the window up, down, up. It's kind of like that. You remember Contra, up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A-B-A, Nintendo. So that's it. Up, down, up, all the way. And that calibrates a single window.
And you are showing the, you're on the Tesla site right now showing the Model 3 do-it-yourself calibrating windows is where you found that. Cameras and windows. Yep. So
Tesla has a lot of great content on their site. They really do.
Yeah, they do. So, all right. Well, let's move on to number four. My car won't come on and I have 27% charge, but it won't come on. Any suggestions? This is a good one right here. Take us through this story.
Yeah, this one is one I jumped on pretty fast. And I'll come down here to my comment. I was one of the first ones to comment and I just said, hold down both scroll wheels on the steering wheel for 10 seconds. If the screen doesn't come on, it's likely your 12 volt battery. And that's what a lot of these comments say. There's a lot of people saying, oh, it's the HV battery. No, if the screens aren't coming on, it's not the HV battery. So if the screens are on and the car won't move, it could be the HV battery. That's more likely to be. But when it's the doors won't open and a Model S, the handles won't present themselves, you walk up to a Model X and the doors don't auto open, all of those systems are using a 12 volt battery, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a second. They're not using the high voltage battery. So when your 12 volt battery dies, and this is a battery like you find similar to what you find in a classic car. It's not quite as big because it doesn't have the cold cranking amps because it's not turning over the engine. It's more of a deep cycle hold storage battery. And the high voltage battery actually supports that 12 volt battery. But when it dies, the car, the screens won't come on, the doors won't auto present, the lights won't work. And that's what I was pulling up and trying to find a list of all of the things that it controls. And I couldn't find an exhaustive list, but think about a normal car. When Tesla built these cars, they didn't redo door locks. They didn't redo window controllers. They didn't redo computer hardware to take all of the voltage from the high voltage battery. The high voltage battery controls the motors. It controls the heat pump. It controls the air conditioner. And I might be missing two other things there, but everything else is controlled by the 12 volt battery, including the computers, the doors, the lights, et cetera, music, Bluetooth connectivity. So when you walk up to your car, it knows to unlock. All of those are being supported by the 12 volt battery.
Yeah. The main high voltage battery is for propelling the car. Right. Yep. And then the
12 AC volt compressor. Battery,
yeah.
Heat pump.
Yeah. The 12 volt battery is all your low voltage stuff. So, and then she reported back and that indeed is what was the challenge, correct?
It was. Yeah. So let me go to newest and, cause I found her, here it is. Yeah. She said, I had to get it towed. I called the Tesla number and they said the 12 volt battery is dead. I have an appointment in the morning. I'll keep everyone updated. And so she doesn't have any more updates from here, but she didn't need to. Tesla told her it was the 12 volt battery. They can log in and look and see. So they knew what it was. So and a lot of times your car, it'll start giving you warnings. So just don't ignore those warnings. You know, whenever you're seeing weird stuff kind of come up and pop on and give you warnings, you can call Tesla and they can log into your car and tell you if it's just the 12 volt battery. Tesla, just on a side note, It's less expensive to have it replaced by Tesla than in a lot of shops, believe it or not. But you can do this yourself if you have a little bit of mechanical aptitude. You can go buy the battery and do it yourself, but you're really not going to save much money. This is one of those services where getting it done by Tesla is pretty cost effective.
So it's more extensive than say the do-it-yourself of a ICE vehicle battery change out, correct?
A little more because you have to open the frunk and you have to move the plastic, the weather stripping in the plastic container. You unplug the little disconnect switch that connects the high voltage battery to the 12 volt battery, and then you pull it out and put it in. It's a little more extensive, but it's not rocket science.
I'm not disconnecting anything that has to do with the high voltage battery. I'm sorry.
It's only 12 volt. That's a good point. But okay. It's only 12 volt there, but it's connecting the converter that converts it from the high voltage down to 12 volt. You're just disconnecting that part of it. It's simple. Okay. It's not wrapped in orange to let you know that it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. Well, you start telling me I need ceramic tools and I'm taking it to the shop. I'm just saying.
We've been there.
Okay. Last one here. Premium connectivity, a waste or worth it?
Yeah. So this is from Craig. And most of the comments here are just worth it, worth it, worth it, worth it. It's a must. $100 a year, worth it, worth it. And we'll talk about the price here. Live traffic equals time saved so that you can reroute. It's all worth it. I love it. I wouldn't have a Tesla without it, but let's just talk about what does it include? And then you can make up your own mind. So I'm going to pull up the Tesla site. This is tesla.com on their connectivity packages breakdown. So with standard, the only thing that you get if you don't have premium is navigation with real-time traffic along the route. So it's just as you're driving, it will show you what the traffic is like where you are. It doesn't do live updates to reroute and save you time. So what you get with premium is you get satellite view maps. If you have one of the newer updates in the newer models where it'll show you the traffic, on the GPS, on the navigation, it'll show you the weather, the weather radar, so that you can see what you're driving into. So if you want that, you have to have premium connectivity. That's weather forecast and precipitation maps. It does show speed cameras. We talked about that just a second ago. I've not seen this for our area, but apparently if it's in your area, then it'll be there. And of course, actually, we don't have a lot of speed cameras around here. So maybe it is there and I just haven't seen it. But live traffic maps, which will reroute you and show you, like you can just go sit in the car and you can move the navigation map and it'll show you traffic. Sentry mode allows you to view live camera with premium connectivity. The mobile app dash cam viewer on the newer Teslas, 2021 and newer, I think, for Model X. I think it's all Model Ys, all Cybertrucks, of course, but anything newer than 2021 for sure. A dog mode live cabin camera. This is a newer feature for 2021 and above models that have the camera in the cabin for FSD to watch where your eyes are looking so that you're staying safe. You can turn that on in your app now and you can look at the inside of the car for dog mode. And then it also gives you streaming music, streaming video, karaoke. By the way, I love karaoke. You can pull up a lot of different songs and you can turn off the voice and then you can just sing with it. And so my daughter and I love this. There's some Disney songs on there that she loves to belt it out and just warms my heart. Karaoke is so fun. I love it. And then an internet browser, which I've never used. I don't think that I would ever just want to browse the internet in a Tesla. But if you wanted to, there is if you hit the hamburger, the three dots on the screen, there is an internet browser where you can browse the internet and go to websites. So it is there. So premium connectivity, it's $9.99 per month plus applicable tax, or an annual subscription for $99 plus applicable tax. In Georgia, there wasn't any applicable tax that I remember. I think they just billed me $99. So totally worth it, in my opinion. Rod, I don't know if it's worth it to you. I'm sure that it is.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just sitting here thinking about when you're going to post a Tesla Tips video of you and Callie belting out some karaoke.
Karaoke.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, maybe maybe coming soon. She is. She's got a great voice, but she's shy. She won't let us film it.
She won't. You just do it undercover. She won't know. Till you make her famous.
We'll try that. She'll never know in the Tesla group.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. There are five Tesla tips from this past week's T3 community. Some good stuff there, Tori. So that'll wrap us up. Just take us through real quick. Again, our T3 website and auction and YouTube pages.
Yes. Yeah. So we're uploading a lot of content, how-to videos, and we want to be that one-stop shop for getting the best experience out of owning and driving a Tesla. And our website has a lot of that content as well as the T3 auctions. And I just can't tell you how beneficial it is. It's free for sellers to list their car. So come on over, submit your car for a T3 auction. And it'll be a 7-day auction where we advertise. We'll promote it to our group of 288,000. Of course, we'll put the listing live there, but we're also going to advertise to people nationwide who are Tesla enthusiasts and in the market for one, and they'll come and they'll place bids. You can set a minimum reserve price so that if the highest bid doesn't go over a certain dollar amount, you're not forced to sell the car if it doesn't hit a certain value. So you're protected there. And then people come and bid, they make comments. We'll walk you through, taking good pictures of the car if you're selling it. And the goal is 100% transparency. So people know exactly what they're going to get. So it's a big benefit for sellers too, so that they can know exactly what's going to show up. We can set up driveway to driveway shipping. So you can see exactly what you're going to get. You don't have to go around and see all these people on, if you're buying on Facebook Marketplace or other marketplaces. You don't have to deal with dealers. You can just have fun shopping from the couch and know exactly what you're going to get. And we'll deliver it straight to your driveway so you can have an amazing experience there. Check it out at teslatipsandtricks.com.
Yep. So good stuff. And thanks as always for the insight and tips, Tori. And we'll see everybody on the next episode.
See you soon.